Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Hey, it is Tuesday. It is the Chris and Amy show, and we've got Michael Kelly in again today, in for Chris Ranji, who it's hard to see here around the apparatus we've got in Studio B because we are streaming on the YouTube channel, the KMOX YouTube, if you want to watch our two lovely faces.
Yeah.
Do the
and
show
you
today.
Actually get to see my face because, unlike Ranji, I don't wear a hat every
or
day.
Glasses.
Or glasses.
He well, is it, not incognito. Sometimes no. You wear glasses.
Yeah. But yeah. Ranji, hopefully we'll be back tomorrow, weather permitting, I guess, right?
I know. We might get Snowmageddon, so you definitely want to keep it tuned to KMOX if you're listening on 1120 AM. Thank you so much. You might also want to try 98.7 FM. Even better is the Audacy app because you can take us with you wherever you go. That's actually what I do. I wake up in the morning and I don't know, maybe it's a bad thing that my phone is my alarm, but it is. And then I immediately turn off the alarm and turn on Total Information AM. So I always wake up with the voices of Debbie Monterey and Megan Lynch and Tom Ackerman. Listen to us on the Audacy app. We also want to hear from you. So your voice, the voice message feature that we have right there on the Audacy app on the KMOX page, leave us a voice message so we can hear from you and follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Snowmageddon 2.0. It's happening, I think. Maybe not. Who knows, really? It's going to be a wintry mix. We are going to keep you updated on a couple of things. The weather itself, yes. We've got AccuWeather meteorologist John Feerick joining us later. Also, the director of communications for the St. Louis mayor, Tashara Jones, Connor Kerrigan, will be joining us. If you have questions, send them our way. Text us 314-436-7900.
And as you're out and about hitting the grocery stores prior to the snow, look around. Over 36 Mexican restaurants in the St. Louis area will be closing in protests to President Trump's latest immigration policies. We'll talk about that.
And pitchers and catchers report today. That's right. And apparently, some of the workouts, like players have already been down there and have been working out, that they might even face hitters pretty quickly, as quickly as this week. We'll see. We will get all of our spring training reports. And the Billikens host George Mason tonight at 7 p.m. Of course, you can listen to that right here on KMOX. Okay, as I mentioned, Connor Kerrigan, the director of communications for Mayor Tashara Jones, will be joining us in Studio B in about 30 minutes or so. If you do have questions, feel free. Questions for the mayor, for Connor Kerrigan, feel free to text us at 314-436-7900. Text those in. We might be able to read a question or two. Snowmageddon, Michael.
Well, I think it's a positive start that ahead of the storm, we're hearing some communications from the city, and we're going to find out exactly what they're prepared for. Mm-hmm. Gosh knows, we had the big storm at the beginning of the year that held everybody up. So it will be interesting to hear what they're doing, what lessons they've learned, and what changes they've made.
Right, right. And again, I think with this storm, I don't think it's necessarily the volume. I think it's the fact that it's going to be a wintry mix.
Yeah.
We don't know how much, you know, ice we're getting, sleet we're getting, snow. Of course, that's what complicates the issues. So we will be talking to a meteorologist as well on that issue. Hey, the Super Bowl discussions have continued. I will say this quickly.
Uh-huh.
The halftime show, it's pretty funny. A lot of the memes are just me explain, not me, but the memes are a younger person explaining to their parents what the halftime show is about, which I get. We're getting old.
I get it. But again, it doesn't have staying power. Mm-hmm. And you can go back and YouTube all the great Super Bowl halftime shows. And while this one may have been powerful for a select group out there, I just don't think it has staying power. It may have made a statement during this time. I'm just surprised the NFL went that direction in terms of communicating to such a small niche when they literally had the entire country's eyeballs on them. Which also goes to that Kanye West commercial. Man, I hope we get some time to dig into that later.
Yeah,
that
so I think it's crazy. It didn't air in St. Louis, did it?
I saw it.
Did you really?
It was a link to go to his website.
Yeah.
So you didn't really know what he was selling until you went to the QR code or the link that he was advertising.
Okay, I missed that. I actually didn't know that it aired in the St. Louis market because it wasn't all markets. But for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, as I mentioned yesterday, because, I mean, years ago, you know, Kanye West won all his Grammys and we know a lot of his songs. And then it became evident that he is insane, evil, anti-Semite, just a horrible person. Well, the last weekend, he went on a, 48-hour vomiting anti-Semitic, when I mean anti-Semitic, I mean praising Hitler. Yeah, Twitter spew. Just, I don't know how many hundreds of tweets he put out. It was insane, and it was hateful. And he bought time.
An $8 million commercial during the Super Bowl.
So that you would go to his website and buy a t-shirt with a swastika on it.
So what's amazing to me is, Amy, people say all the things that you just said about Kanye West, and they're accurate. And they also say, well, that he's mentally ill and that he's bipolar and that it's this and it's that. And that also true may be applicable. But here's something that's problematic to me. I actually, when watching the commercial, it was so ridiculous. I went to the website, Yeezy or whatever it was. When I first went to it, there's like a list. It was like a checkerboard, if you would, of little items that you could go touch. And the first one I touched was of a shoe. And it was ridiculously priced. It's not my scene, so I was like, whatever. And then as I went to go touch another item, it pulled up a shirt that was a swastika. And I was like, oh, man. Now, to the point that I literally X'd out of the website that I was on and immediately deleted my cookies because I don't want that as a part of my algorithm. And so, but here's where I'm going with this. This was an $8 million commercial that they had to have been filmed ahead of time, a website that could handle traffic that was pushing a Nazi swastika, swastika. Help me understand how, fine, a mentally ill man and who's an anti-Semite is able to get to that place where he's got an $8 million and it never got stopped along the way. I mean, we all are pointing our finger at Kanye, but there's a whole system enabling him as well.
It has been no secret that Kanye West spews hateful anti-Semitic language, praising Hitler. And he's been doing this for, I mean, over a year, maybe a few years now. And so why a private company would agree to air a commercial from him, would take that risk? It's not like they couldn't have sold that spot to someone else. Like you say, well, freedom of speech. No, KMOX has every right to not take a commercial from the KKK.
Right.
Like, we don't have to air that. We're a private company. Now, does Kanye West have the right to stand on a public park and spew hateful language? Sure. I mean,
what he did on Twitter.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful, but it's not illegal. And I asked, you know, I reached out to a lawyer and I said, is any of this illegal? And he's like, no, only in Germany. In Germany, it's illegal.
Right.
It's just disgusting and vile and dangerous because people may say, oh, well, you know, it's just Kanye West. People know he's insane. No, because anti-Semitism is real. He has 32 million followers on Twitter, I believe. That's twice as many Jewish people in the world. He has twice as many followers on Twitter than there are Jewish people in the world.
And you have to have an infrastructure that would support taking that much incoming traffic. Look, Sid, we're on KMOX, right? The biggest radio station in St. Louis, arguably one of the biggest radio stations in the country. I'm telling you that if we would have had a Super Bowl commercial that had KMOX.com and 1% of the people who were watching the Super Bowl went to that website, it would have crashed. Mm-hmm. You had to be prepared for this. You had to have intent behind what was shown. And, you know, and I hold Fox as accountable as anybody, yeah, because they can't. You mean to tell me there wasn't another beer company that would have bought another $8 million commercial or another insurance company or loan company? Boy, they had tons of them.
But to get right to,
but
give
it to him,
to give evil a platform, yeah, especially right now. I mean, at any time, I shouldn't even say especially right now, at any time. But there are still hostages being tortured and murdered because they're Jewish in Gaza. And he, for some reason, there were enough people around him, because like you said, Kanye didn't make the website himself.
Right.
Who was his team?
Yeah.
Who is his team that's okay with this?
Who was the marketing agency who went and bought it? Who in Fox accepted the purchase and would have, yeah, been like, oh, well, who knows what he's going to do? We're fine with
We're
it.
Fine.
Let's go ahead.
Yeah, what possibly could happen
you
with
this
guy?
You seem to be a normal fella.
And again, even if they had accepted, you think, well, maybe they already sold the spot. Then pull it.
Yeah.
Because
right,
he went on a deranged, yeah, anti-Semitic, hateful, praising Hitler Twitter's.
There's something free. Bigger going on here.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's just not this crazy bipolar person, you know, he's evil and there's an infrastructure that's
right,
supporting him.
If he's dealing with mental issues, those did not make him evil.
Right.
Those did not make him anti-Semitic. He had that in him, and then maybe they exacerbate the way he expresses it. But I mean, he's an evil person.
Well, that's just a penny for our thoughts right there, huh?
I know. Well, let's do this. Maybe later this week, too, because I do want to reach out to either the Kaplan Feldman Holocaust Museum or the Jewish Federation of St. Louis. Talk to someone about the impact,
uh-huh,
that this type of thing. Like, don't brush it off.
Right.
Don't say, well, he's just crazy. Like, what kind of impact could this have, especially in an environment where we are seeing so much anti-Semitism? So, yes, we will talk to them. But Michael did... I mean, man, talk about a 180. Bring back, brought up the topic of the penny, which we talked about with Chris Saliza yesterday, that Donald Trump wants to eliminate the penny. And apparently this is one of those things that has bipartisan support. People have been trying to do it for years. So we'll talk about the impact. What could that mean for our sale prices? What could that mean for lower income spenders? What does that mean for Michael Kelly, who is returning to cash? Could it be true?
Yes.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores with you. We want to keep getting your texts if you have questions for the mayor's office about the upcoming snowstorm. We've gotten a few in already about which streets will be plowed and so forth. 314-436-7900. 436-7900. Text in with your questions.
Well, Amy, the President of the United States has said we're going to eliminate the production of the penny going, mm-hmm, forward. He's ordered the Department of the Treasury to quit making the penny. And I guess it's ultimately going to be eliminated from our system, which I guess is fine. Ultimately, though, doesn't it make everything more expensive? That would be my question.
I think that has been the argument against eliminating the penny, because it has had bipartisan support for a long time. It's not a new idea. But what they're afraid is if you eliminate the penny, that hurts low-income spenders the most.
Right. And so that, you've got that. And then
up,
what are we going to do with all these great sayings like a penny saved is a penny earned? I mean, what are we going to have to say? A nickel saved is a nickel earned?
I think you can still.
Just keep it.
It's just a throwback. So as we noted yesterday, the penny costs over, 2 cents to produce. Apparently, it's 3.7 cents a pop. And the U.S. Mint said it lost $85.3 million last fiscal year, making billions of pennies.
Yeah. Well, and look, I'm fine with making the change. It seems like pennies and the big system of the budget of what needs to be cut and saved. But hey, they found these $85 million. They're going to do it. There's probably some consequences. But I'll tell you, one of the life changes that I have made,
yeah,
which has put a lot of more pennies in my pocket,
literally,
the actual pennies, is
okay.
I am doing my best to carry cash with me And whenever I am doing things that I would typically pull out my credit card and put them on there, if I have the money, I am paying cash for them, whether it be the grocery store, when I stop at a convenience store. I swung in the other day for Super Bowl. I was going to have people over, and I thought I ought to have a nice smelling candle. I went to a little candle shop and bought it. And so when I'm buying with cash, it's giving me a lot of change, right? So I'm coming back. I've probably implemented this the last 6 months of my life or so. And so I take all the change, and when I come home, you do. You have a pocket full of change. You're not going to hide from anybody. You sound like Santa Claus coming down the hallway.
Your pants are sagging.
Right. And so, but I pull that change up, and I throw it into an old milk jug that I have.
Okay.
And I just recently turned it in, and I had like $290. It was
$290?
Fine. Yeah, of quarters and nickels and dimes. And I took it to my bank, and they put it into the machine, and it counted it up in seconds. And I had that $290, and that was gratifying. But from a context even larger than that, I've noticed that my propensity, meaning my impulse to purchase things, has gone down because I have the idea of, even though that's only $19, I only got $40 in my pocket. I'm not sure I want to use one of these $20 bills on buying that thing. Whereas the ease of having the credit card and just being like, yep, taking that with me. Of course I can afford the $19. No big deal. Put it on my credit card. I'm arguing to you that I have a lot more of those spontaneous $19 more when I have a credit card as opposed to if I'm paying with cash.
So do you kind of, not that you have to say how much, but is it kind of like you have a certain amount of cash, so it is by default you're self-limiting? Because obviously you're not going to walk around with $500 in cash, so no. It's just self-limiting by how much you have.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I don't live some ostentatious lifestyle, it's just me. So, you know, $100 is going to go days for me, particularly with this thought process. Now, of course, you're going to have some. If I'm stopping into a grocery store just to pick up an item, I'm paying cash. If I'm going to get my groceries for the week, I put that on my credit card, and I don't use that money there. It's just more the impulse buys, even like here at our office. And I'm sure a lot of offices have these where they have like fresh fruit and snacks that you can go out and buy. And normally you just pop up with your credit card. There's $3. Oh, I got myself a little bag of Fun Fruits and I'm a happy person. I don't do that anymore because I'm like, oh, well, if there was cash, I'd probably buy that. And as a result.
So that's really interesting. Right now, I feel like cash is fake money because it's not tracked. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not in my checking account. It's not in my savings account. It's just Monopoly money. So if I have cash, I feel like, I don't want to say throw it away like I'm flippant. I never have cash. That's right. Why. So let's say for whatever reason I have $14. It's like, oh, this money doesn't even exist. This is play money. This is Monopoly money. And so I'll spend cash. However, I think if I were deliberate in carrying cash,
you would spend less.
I would spend less, not because I want to save, but because it's a hassle.
Yeah.
I think it's a hassle.
So at the end of today, I've got to go take my check to the bank.
Yeah.
And I will take $200 of cash out. And that will last me 5 or 6 days of the minor expenses of life. I don't have to buy gasoline. Yeah. I have an electric car, etc. So it'll last me a while where I won't be spending lots of money, as opposed to if I was putting it on a credit card, it may be $300 I would have spent.
We have a texter from a 618. It sounds like you're on the Dave Ramsey budget plan.
Who's Dave?
Oh, the big financial guy.
Yeah. Well, so I never had a conversation with Dave. It's just kind of my own thing, but yeah.
Yeah, so it does help you save. Like I said, I think I would need to switch my mindset.
You could do it. You could do it. You are like one of the most disciplined people I know. You can get up and run when it's 40 degrees.
But I'm absent-minded.
Yeah?
I misplace things.
But the fact that you would have cash in your pocket, like, it's so easy to go spend $5 when it's that piece of plastic or it's your phone that you're tapping.
But cash is a hassle.
You have to pull the cash out.
Yeah.
And you see the bills that you have there, and you're like, man, I'm parting with this $5. Do I really want this? It will start to change your psychology.
I like it. I think it's been proven.
Man, I'm trying to get me an afternoon weekend show here.
He is saving money. One vacation at a time. Michael Kelly, Amy Mark scores. Connor Kerrigan, Director of Communications for St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones, joins us next in studio. If you have a question, 314-436-7900. Hurry up! It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Well, I don't know if it will be Snowmageddon 2.0, but I think we're pretty much assured some kind of wintry mix, and sometimes that's worse than just straight-up snow. Now, after, obviously, the snow debacle that happened last month and carried on for weeks, we have questions. How is the city of St. Louis going to handle this upcoming storm, big or small, ice or snow? And so joining us now in Studio B is the Director of Communications for St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones, and that is Connor Kerrigan. Connor, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a quick walk over from City Hall.
Well, I know we've heard your voice a lot this morning that with some of the answers the reporters have had, answering the questions some reporters have had this morning. So just to elaborate on that, the mayor said, you said that you guys learned from last time. So specifically, what are you doing this time around for this snow that you did not do last time?
Yeah, so certainly learned a couple lessons last time after Snowmageddon, as you coined it. So one thing that you're going to see is yesterday and today, we've got our salt and salt brine trucks all over the city. They're tackling every area of the city. I also know that this time we've engaged a contractor a little early. So we do have a contractor supplementing the work of the streets department, also helping to lay that salt and salt brine. So residents of the city of St. Louis are going to see those trucks out all today, and they were out yesterday, making sure that we're pre-treating the streets. Also starting tomorrow, we're going to have our streets department on 12-hour shifts. We're going to have 50 trucks out plowing those arterials, those secondaries, and those hill routes. Also, one thing that we're asking for residents to do is if you live on a hill route, we're asking you today and tomorrow to park on the odd numbered side of the street. So that's the street if you're looking at house addresses with the odd numbers. The reason for that is that we want to make sure that our plows can easily get down those streets. So we're actually those are a couple of the things that we're doing differently is, you know, not only just being a little more proactive with that salt and that salt brine, but also trying to get the residents engaged so that we can better tackle those hill routes, which were a big part of the problem last time.
So this is from a texter. You mentioned the side street. Their question is, will the side streets and alleys be plowed in South City? You said plow, or do you mean treated, those secondary roads?
So arterials, secondary, and hill routes. So this person might be asking about residential streets. If you're on a residential street that isn't one of our snow routes, that's still not going to get plowed, because we still have the issue with, if we try to get into those residential streets, we're going to be knocking mirrors off, we're going to be burying cars, and that's going to cause a lot more problems. We're certainly not expecting this storm to be like last time. The big issue last time, there was a number, but the big issue last time was that those sub-freezing temperatures lasted for weeks, making it impossible to clear that ice. We don't expect that this time. So if you go to Google and you just type in St. Louis snow routes, you can see what streets are snow routes, those arterial secondaries and hill routes. Those are all going to get treated, and those are all going to get plowed.
What about the, as you mentioned, the residential streets that cannot be plowed? Are there smaller trucks, like pickup trucks, to treat them at least?
Yeah, so we've engaged with some contractors who are going to be getting into some of those hill routes and those residential streets.
Okay.
And again, you know, better late than never, but we have purchased smaller trucks. They're not going to be here for this season, but they will be here for next season. And we're currently working with Alderman Shane Cohen to kind of update what our snow response and policy looks like with the utilization of that new equipment.
Another texter asks, will bus stops be plowed?
That's a good question. I know that we are coordinating with Bi-State. So, you know, that's who runs the bus service in the region. I don't know specifically if they're going to be hitting those bus stops specifically, but I do know that we've been coordinating with them. Would be happy if that person could send me an email or something to get back. I just don't have that right now.
Do you know about a focus in front of schools, even if these are roads that were not plowed last time?
So certainly another lesson that we learned was that those schools were tough to access last time. And so you are seeing that pre-treatment in front of the schools as well.
Also, I know Mayor Jones spoke at Paraquad last night.
Yeah.
It was all four mayoral candidates.
Yeah.
Paraquad for those with disabilities and also looking at pedestrian safety in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So we also had someone ask, is the mayor in town this week? Will the mayor be in town all of this week?
The mayor has no travel plans this week. She'll be in town.
And also with, this is something, I know she was at Paraquad last night. This is my question, because I do think, just as, you know, someone who was a resident, or for residents who are there, and just the frustration I've seen.
Sure.
Obviously with leadership, it's one thing to like to make decisions, but also being visible so that people can see you. Is the mayor trying to be more visible? Like, you know, even I know you spoke yesterday. Should the mayor have spoken yesterday? Should the mayor have spoken today, just so she can be visible for people?
Oh, sure. So so the mayor is going to be putting out, the mayor has been actively with us. Sometimes just scheduling means that I have to be the one speaking instead of her. I am her spokesperson. We're going to be doing a lot of what we did last time, which is the mayor is going to have these daily kind of video updates that we put out on social media. And we found that those were actually really helpful for keeping people informed. So you will be seeing a lot of the mayor's face and hearing a lot from the mayor throughout this time. Absolutely.
And then also, I guess, finally, with the trucks that you mentioned, the smaller trucks, next year, but not in time for next winter, correct? Has that been pushed off?
No, yes, in time for next winter.
Yes, in time for next winter.
Yeah, we're getting them, we're getting them sometime in the spring, and then it's all complicated, but there's some like assembly required that has to happen, and that we expect to be done by the early summer. So absolutely, those will be here in time for next winter.
And then that would be the idea to help deal with those residential streets.
Yeah, on top of, you know, so I'm originally from Chicago. In Chicago, there's an ordinance on the books that says you have to park on one side of the street during those winter months. Something like that is what we're working on with Alderman Shane Cohen, to see if there's a possibility of making that happen as a matter of ordinance rather than just us asking residents to do it.
Connor Kerrigan, we appreciate your time today. He's the Director of Communications for St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones, answering questions ahead of whatever it is, the wintry mix, the Snowmageddon 2.0 that we're getting in the next few hours here. We appreciate your time, Connor.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And speaking of that, knowing what exactly we are going to get, the wintry mix, the snow, we bring in John Furyk, an AccuWeather meteorologist who is keeping an eye on this system that will be hitting the Midwest. John, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. I think we're all wondering what exactly this storm will look like for people in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. What do you know so far about the kind of wintry mix we might be getting and when that will start?
So it looks like right now we'll probably start to see some snow break out across the area tomorrow morning. Now, basically from the city, on south and east, we'll likely see some mixing with some sleet during the day tomorrow. So that may hold down some of the higher snow accumulations that are likely to be seen farther to the north and west. The places that see all snow to the north and west of St. Louis, that's where we'll end up with likely 3 to 6 inches of snow tomorrow during the day into tomorrow evening. But that's looking like the timing right now. So deteriorating conditions during the day tomorrow. The snow wraps up tomorrow evening, and then it'll just be digging out as we head into later tomorrow night and Thursday.
And I know you mentioned the snow and the conditions deteriorating. Did you say it's starting with some ice?
So it looks like during the day tomorrow, it will mix with some sleet.
Okay.
So initially, I think most places it probably begins as some snow, but then as some warmer air tries to nudge in from the south and east, that's when we'll see a little bit more mixing with sleet tomorrow afternoon. But again, areas of the north and west of St. Louis, I don't think there's any sleet at all. I think we'll just see some steady snow tomorrow into tomorrow evening. The city south and east is where we'll see a little bit of that mixture.
Is this snow that will stick around? Will the weather help us out in the days after it comes, or will we be dealing with it through the weekend?
So it's going to stick around on Thursday. Highs on Thursday are only in the 20s. So definitely looks like We'll have, any slush that's out there certainly freeze up tomorrow night and the Thursday morning, and it really won't go much of anywhere during the day on Thursday. But then Friday and Saturday, we do warm up a little bit. We'll be into the 30s, upper 30s on Friday, maybe even near 40 by Friday afternoon. And then we'll probably get some rain Friday night and Saturday. So that should help to kind of melt things and wash things away on Saturday.
Yeah, and because the temperatures aren't in those single digits like we saw last time, pre-treatment should be effective this time around, right?
It would seem that will be the case. Now, I do think the intensity of the snow could overcome that a little bit tomorrow afternoon and evening. So that's certainly something we'll have to kind of watch here. But I would think the pretreatment would help at least a little bit.
In the St. Louis City, St. Louis County area, morning commute should be early enough that the weather hasn't deteriorated enough that you can get to work. Do you suggest people leave work early?
It's looking like certainly the afternoon commute is going to be quite difficult and potentially dangerous. So whether that's leave work early or whether that's potentially work remote if you can, maybe that might be the best course of action. But certainly it does look like the morning commute's going to be okay. It's certainly more concerns for the afternoon and evening commute.
And is this one round of bad weather that we're getting that starts tomorrow, or is it going to pause and then have a second wave hit us?
So like I said, I think Saturday we'll get some rain. It's not out of the question that ends as a little bit of snow, but that doesn't look like nearly as much of a problem as what we're going to deal with tomorrow. And then after that, it looks like things calm down, at least for a little while.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, John Furyk, AccuWeather meteorologist. We will be tuned into AccuWeather and to KMOX to keep an eye on things. We appreciate your time as you get ready for the storm.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. As John Furyk, AccuWeather meteorologist. Well, it seems a little bit more manageable this time around, Michael.
So here are my takeaways. Number one, it sounds as though the city is doing some more pre-treatment than maybe took place the last time. Two, they clearly realize that they've got to answer the bell here based on the disastrous response last time. I don't know if this is enough, Amy, to wipe out of people's minds what was experienced before. And number two is that we're going to have some cold weather. It's still winter and snow's coming back. That's what I've taken from the 10 minutes of enlightenment you've provided us with here.
I will say this. I'm a little surprised the uncertainty on the bus stops, because I do feel like people needing to get to work, knowing what they're expecting, relying on the bus system with Bi-State, that should be worked out.
I would suspect that it's not. You can't have the response we just had and then suddenly going to have a flawless system. Mm-hmm. I have to believe that while there may be coordination, I would anticipate there's going to be issues. And hopefully Mother Nature will comply and get rid of it for us quickly. Who knows?
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Did you see this? Is next.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, Michael Kelly,
yep.
I don't know if you saw this.
What?
In the flurry of executive orders, Trump signed an order to ban plastic straws in the federal government. Excuse me, paper straws. I messed up the whole lead. He's banning paper straws in the federal government, saying, quote, they don't work and don't last very long. Instead, he wants the government to move exclusively to plastic. He said, quote, I don't think that plastic is going to affect the shark very much as they're eating, end quote. I gotta say, I'm on board with this.
Well, there's the complete summary of Donald Trump was right there. Okay, here it is. Number one, it's on the federal government. Is the federal government really buying paper straws? I think he's trying to touch into a cultural thing. Yeah. I get that people don't like paper straws. There's no government mandate from the federal government telling you or that restaurant that they have to have paper straws. Now, here's my problem with straws in general. I don't understand why people want to drink out of a straw. Drink out of a glass
straws.
Like a grown-up. What are you, 5 years old?
Matt Pajeski has a great reason for using a straw.
If you drink coffee, like I do, with a straw, the straw bypasses your teeth and keeps your teeth nice and white.
Yeah.
It's not dirtying up your teeth.
You should drink wine with a straw.
That's the motive behind your straw?
Yeah.
Well,
also, I don't like if I've got like a cup of soda or something or a glass of water. I don't like all the ice just like rushing towards
100%.
My face. 100%. I like to slip through a straw.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm a grown-up, so I know how to drink out of a glass.
What about grown-ups who have tooth sensitivity and then they're drinking the cold water?
There's always exceptions out there, and you should have a straw. And it should be plastic if you want. By the way, most of the places that I go to that are paper straws are the fancy type places that the Donald Trumps of the world are hanging out
with. All I know is,
fancy restaurants in Palm Beach and stuff.
A paper straw tastes exactly like, I would imagine, the inside, the little cardboard inside of a toilet paper roll.
Oh, the do-to-do roll is what we called them when I was a kid.
The what?
The do-to-do. You know, you would grab them and...
Yes.
My little sister and I called them the do-to-do rolls.
Oh, my gosh.
We would build...
That's adorable.
Listen, there were five girls and me, and my sister and I were the youngest. So the amount of do-to-do rolls we would have in a week in the Kelly house, we would make like an arch with them.
Sure.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
Well,
don't you feel like paper straws or do-to-do rolls? It's awful.
Yeah.
And then they start to get soft.
Soggy.
And then they get soggy and they mush together.
Yeah.
Honestly,
and then you have to drink out of the glass like... a grown-up, and everything's better.
All right. I know you saw this.
Amy didn't like that.
No.
Me neither.
Plastic straws. Wait. Last question. So you drink iced coffee without a straw?
I don't drink iced coffee.
Can you imagine drinking iced coffee without a straw?
No.
We're not savages. We're not barbarians.
No, but I do drink almost everything out of a glass or a can.
Do you drink wine with a straw, Matt?
No, that's crazy talk.
Because wine's very stainy.
Have you seen girls who drink stuff out of a can with a straw because they don't want to mess up their lipstick? Like even a glass or like a can of bubble water, and then they have a little straw,
one of the bendy straws? Oh. See, now I don't put straws in cans.
Yeah.
I drink out of a can or
like,
a bottle.
Like a human?
But I also don't use lipstick. I look weird in lipstick. I like chapstick.
Lipstick is a weird concept to me. There's some reporters that put lipstick on before they go on the radio, and it's the shiny stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, their lips are shining the entire time they're talking, and I don't know what they're saying because I'm distracted by, like, my reflection in the lips.
See, I like lipstick.
You do?
I wish I could wear it, but I look kind of like a doofus in it, but I do. I wish I could. Like, I think it looks fun. The only thing that I would not like you said, leaving the mark on the glass or on the straw.
Mm-hmm.
I know a quick final, did you see this, which you did. What did you say about gambling and this year's Super Bowl?
Oh, they said there was as much wagered on in-game parlays as was wagered prior to the game. That's significant.
Interesting.
The Super Bowl's the biggest betting day of the year, more betting. But because of this live betting and being able to bet on your phones now, Amy... you're able to bet inside the game are the Eagles going to get a first down? They had as much betting on that as they did on the game before it started.
Crazy.
Isn't that insane?
That's insane. Ugh. Wow.
That and stuff it was scares me, man.
A lot of money.
This digital betting in your hand scares me with young people.
Hey, coming up next, really interesting interview. We're going to talk with the dive team leader with MoDOT, asking about the challenges of water rescues in swift water. Obviously, the tragic plane crash in the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., and just some of the challenges and dangers that rescue teams face when trying to rescue people from the wreckage. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Marks-Gores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.